Indeed. Whew. Now that we got your attention again. Indeed, it is God, the hallelujahs of God need to be praised and voiced. It's a time of celebration. As we're getting back into Nehemiah, actually we're going to conclude our study with Nehemiah today and look into some things about celebrating. Actually, David, I was supposed to tell you that we should have done that old Cool and the Gang song, Celebrate, today. Just kick everything off. That would have been pretty exciting to do. Got our attention anyway. And as we think about celebrations, though, what are the highlights of your year? What are the days that you circle in red or unique color right into in your calendar every year? What are those days that you look forward to every year? Time with family, time with good friends. Maybe you've got a time that you schedule in where it's just you, and that's all right too. The holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays that come around, we look forward to those. Oh, by the way, there's only 302 shopping days left to Christmas. Anybody started? There's generally always one in every crowd, at least starting to think about it, all right? Okay, but it's just around the corner, you know. It'll be here before you know it, even though we haven't had Easter yet, but it's coming. Again, those times of celebrating. Nehemiah and Israel, they have come to the conclusion of something. And now what? They have been working for a little over about a month and a half now, and they're finished, so now what? The time has finally arrived. All this hard work has paid off. All the time that they went through the struggles and the opposition, it's paid off. So now it's time to celebrate. And here's kind of maybe our big thought for the day. That when the work of God is completed, it's time to celebrate. We've seen kind of a theme that's ran through Nehemiah, that for the life that is focused upon God, God can do a mighty work, or God will do a mighty work in that life or through that life. Now that it's taken place, it's time to celebrate. So find in your Bibles this morning, in the book of Nehemiah, we're going to start off in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 15. And if you're using a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 356. And there you should find Nehemiah, chapter 6. Now we're going to read little excerpts from chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. Now don't worry, we're not going to read all those chapters, but we are going to hit some highlights of those just to kind of help us see what Israel does during this time of celebration. And God wants us to celebrate. You say, well, how do you know God wants you to celebrate? Well, if you read through particularly the Old Testament, you'll find at least seven times that God commands Israel to take a day or a week off and celebrate, to worship Him uniquely in those time frames. I don't know about you, but it's hard to imagine God commanding us to celebrate. Do you ever think that God commands us to celebrate? I often thought about that, you know, what we used to do with our children from time to time. Says, you're going to this party and you're going to have a good time. You know, sometimes I think that's what God does to us. You're going to do this and you're going to have a good time, because we need times of excitement in our life. We need that ability to celebrate. So let's see what goes on. Nehemiah chapter 6, pick up in verse 15. And so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Now jump down to chapter 7 in verse 1. And now when the wall had been built, and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed. And I gave my brother Hananiah and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. And I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they were still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. All right, so what's going on here? Well, in chapter 7, as we begin, Nehemiah is kind of organizing the city, you could say. He's building it into a well-organized, well-running machinery type thing so that the city will run well and smoothly. However, if you take those concluding remarks of chapter 6 and what he's beginning to do in chapter 7, you get the feeling that there's this party that's getting ready to be upon them. They're getting ready to build up for a great time of celebration. There's nothing like at the conclusion of a great project. There's nothing like it when you finish off a great event than being able to see all that's been accomplished and celebrate it. So when good things happen, when good things are completed, even through the difficulties, that kind of makes it a better, yes, it's finally done, we finally got through this, and it is a time to celebrate. And we need those times in our life. We need that some good excitement times in our life to counteract maybe the bad excitement times that come along. We need to see the purpose in all that we've been doing. We need to see the accomplishment. We need to see all that God's been, His hand has been upon through our lives, and in particular days and times as we live, then that adds to the celebration when we begin to ponder and think about how much God has really done for us. And I notice a few things here that they started that added to the celebration. First of all, the enemies in chapter 6, the enemy, despite their efforts, the work was completed, and they perceived that this work was finished because of the work of God. Now, that's a wow. That's a wow, because here you had people that didn't believe in God. You had people that certainly didn't believe in the God of Israel. You had people that didn't know God, and yet they could understand that the reason they were where they were, that they were able to accomplish all that they accomplished, was because of God working in and through them. That's a wow, that when people, unbelievers, see the handiwork of God, it happens. Then the walls were completed. That's over 2 miles of walls that had been either completely torn down. The gaps in between had been built all the way up. They had been fortified. They had been strengthened. And now these gates, these new gates, have been hung. And then what happens? I love this. Everything's finished. They're getting ready for this big party. Nehemiah, he gathers all the families into the city. All the people on the outskirts have been working. All the people that's been with them in this process. He brings them into the city. And he has all the gates shut and the gates barred. Lock them in. Not quite what you expected, was it? He said, now we're going to stop this. We're going to lock this up until midday the next day. Nehemiah is signaling this is a new day has come upon Jerusalem and the area. A new way of living life is coming. There has been restoration brought to the city. Restoration is being brought to the area. A new day is dawning, a new way of living, a new way, a renewal of expectations has been established. You might say membership now has its privileges, because now if you're part of inside the walls, all this you've been doing and all that God's been doing through you, it's going to bear out in your life. Interesting enough, later on in this, when the Sabbath day rolls around, Nehemiah does virtually the same thing. He shuts the doors on Friday night. So when people show up Saturday to come in to set up business, they can't get into the gates. And he won't let them in because the Sabbath day is holy. It's the day to be worshiped. He says, no one's getting in until Sunday morning. Then you can open the gates up, and then you can come in and do that. Again, that's kind of a wow type thing. Now, let's jump over in chapter 8 and pick up some other things about the celebration. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, now, and all the people gathered as one man in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people who were attentive to the book of the law. Now here comes some of those good fun names, all right? Verse 4, and Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that had made him for this purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right hand, and Peniah, and Mishael, and this one's a real one, Melchijah, Mushan, Hasabinadan, and Zechariah, and Methuselah was on his left. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for it was above all the people, and he opened it, and all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wow. So they worshiped God. Now here we learn a couple things about celebrations, all right? Here's the first thing we learn. Real celebrations involve or are centered around God. Real celebrations are centered around God. Remember, a life that's focused on God, God will do a mighty work in that life. So as life is best lived with God as the center focus of life, it would only stand to reason that if God is to be the center of our life, then the center of our celebrations aren't going to change either. It's going to be God as well. And so life works best when we have God in the center of our life, and therefore our celebrations are even greater when God's the center of those as well. Celebrations are a time of excitement then over what God has been doing in us and through us, what God has accomplished through our lives. Again, chapter 6, even the enemies perceived that the work had been accomplished by the help of God. Wow, that's an awesome statement about all that God had been doing, all that time, all that planning, all that preparation. God worked through them to finish building and restoring this city. Now notice something else. They sang. Have you ever noticed that almost all of our celebrations that we have are centered around music or has music as part of them? Certain celebrations we have, certain holidays that we have certain types of music even. And we get so geared up in that type of music for a while. Even our birthdays, we have the birthday song that we sing for that individual. Our anniversaries, oftentimes, couples have their song or their song of their genre, or when their generation was growing up or when they met together, and their minds go back to it. So they were certainly praising for God of who He is, His leadership, His work, His greatness, the grandeur that He had shown over this period of time. So much so that even the enemies, and again, this bears out in my mind a lot, that even the enemies could see this. So there were prayers and songs of thanksgiving and prayers as well as for what God was going to continue to do. God wasn't finished with them. God had just got the walls finished. Now there's things that need to be done inside the city and bringing restoration to the area. So it's what God's going to continue to do. And then notice the reading of God's word was central to them. From early morning to midday. Wow. Early morning to midday. Now, the Jewish day starts about 6 a.m. So early morning, give them time to get things together and get to where they need to be. So, what, 7 o'clock? Maybe a little after 7. And they went to worship and they stood. 4 hours. Stood while the reading of God's word took place. And we think our worship services are long sometimes. Well, for 3 or 4 hours, they're worshiping there. They stood reading the word of God, the books of the law. Now get this. These are the books we just love to study. Exodus. Or Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the books we just love to dive into. And we love to hear those things read. And they're having these things read, and they're standing as Ezra stands before them, reading out loud the books of the law. Anyone who could have understanding. And then even at times, the Levites would gather in smaller groups with those folks, and they would explain some of what Ezra was reading. You see, celebrations center around God. But they also, we learn something else here too. Real celebrations involve the worship of God. If celebrations are centered around God, then the worship, then celebrations should involve, or going to involve, worshiping God. Now, I'm going to ask you a kind of an unusual question here. And quite frankly, it's going to be a tough question, because I want you to really think through it. I'm going to push you a little bit. Do you have holidays or holy days to celebrate? Our holidays, most of which are based upon holy days. And quite frankly, that's where we get the word holiday from, is from holy day. So do we celebrate holy days or do we celebrate holidays? Have we turned our holidays, have we turned these holy days into days that are just another day off from work, another day that we may get away with family, another day that we can take off from church, or another day that we don't even want to worship on? I mean, if we're really celebrating, and we've already seen that real celebrations involve are God-centered, even our birthdays and anniversaries should be God-centered, because God has given us the number of days that we have lived. You know, life rests in His hands. And God has brought these two people together. At least that's what we say at the wedding ceremony, is that God has purposed these two lives to become one. So if our lives, again, are centered around God, shouldn't our celebrations and those holidays should be holy days to us? No. I don't want to bring you a downer to all the celebration that we're talking through, but it is worthy to think through. Have I made these holy days of God into just another day, a holiday, a time to take off? And quite frankly, some of this happened with Israel here too. Go over to verse 9 of chapter 8. Let's continue on through chapter 8. And verse 9 says, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and scribe and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, 'Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved.' And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them." When the word of God began to be read to them, they began to understand and see the sin in their own lives. They began to understand that their life hasn't really been God-centered, and that they weren't worshiping or they weren't celebrating as God had commanded them to celebrate. Their celebrations, their holy days had become just holidays. They hadn't been God-directed, and it grieved them, and they became under conviction because of this. I love what Nehemiah does here. He says, stop it. Stop your crying and stop your whining. Stop mourning. This is a day to celebrate. There'll be enough time to get your life straight, and there'll be enough time to confess your sins later on. But for now, it's time to celebrate. It's time to look and see that all that God's doing and all that God has been doing in your life, it's time to celebrate. And this reveals something else to us. I kind of made this statement at the beginning. You know, since real celebrations are centered around God, and real celebrations will involve the worship of God, that means that God enjoys his people to celebrate. God loves to see his people celebrate him. Notice verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Oh, we need to grasp that today. Any joy we're going to have in life, any joy that comes to us, the joy that we're going to be able to live with day to day, comes because we have found our strength for life in God. Again, remember, God is the center of our life. The life that is centered, has God as its centered, as its focus, God will do a mighty work. See, it's his strength that accomplishes. The enemies, they saw that they accomplished the building of the wall because of the strength of their God. See, the joy that we have, the joy we can experience, the reason we can celebrate is because of the power of God that's in us and around us. Notice something else here. Go all the way to the end of chapter 8, verse 18. Notice what we find here. "And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God that kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule." So for 7 days, they worship. For 7 days, they celebrate it. And then on the eighth day, it was a time to weep and to mourn for their sins. For 7 days, they worship. For 7 days. Which would you prefer to do with your children or your grandchildren? Have some fun times with them? Do something exciting with them? Or discipline them? Which would you much rather do? Give them good gifts? Spend time playing together, a game, or sitting on the floor, or just watching them play and enjoy life, or trying to teach them something or correct some behavior in their life? Which would you rather do? Of course, we would much rather have some fun time with them. Play with them. Encourage them. Why would we think God would be any different than that? That God wants us to enjoy life, that God wants us to enjoy life with him, that God wants to participate, that God wants to give us good gifts, that God wants to encourage us along in life. So he wants us to celebrate. And he set these times throughout the life of Israel to celebrate. Now, this celebration of finishing the wall also corresponded with another festival time in Israel. It was the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Booths had two things that they would remember at this time. The Feast of Booths, they would actually live outside their house. Oftentimes, since they had a flat roof, they'd go up on the roof and they were to build these kind of these lean-tos of branches and bushes and stuff. And they would camp out. Did your kids ever camp out in the backyard? Did you ever camp out with them in the backyard? Yeah, we did that. So this is what they were doing. They were camping out in the backyard or camping out on top of the house and celebrating and remembering. One of the things that they were to remember was that the time that they spent wandering around in the wilderness those 40 years when they wouldn't go into the promised land. So they were living in these temporary shelters to remind them that they wandered. And so that is a kind of a time that brings conviction, but they also were remembering how God took care of them, that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, that God fed them, that they had water. God supplied every need they had while they were doing the wandering. It was also corresponding with a time of a joyful music, and again, of the harvest that was coming in. It was generally around the time that the grapes and the olives would come in. So after the olives had been pressed, and after the grapes had been pressed, they would have this great time of celebration. They would remember all that God had given them. They were praising God for how he had blessed them and the produce of the life that had come to them. And this would be kind of maybe similar to our Thanksgiving time frame, because it would happen late September, early October. But again, it was a time to focus on how God had blessed them with a great harvest. You know, in some sense, we experience this kind of dual thing every time we participate in the Lord's Supper. We're going to do this in a couple of weeks. Because when we get there and we participate in the Lord's Supper, that the communion experience, we begin to see our sin. Our sin truly is exposed then. We see the high cost of sin. We see that the high payment of sin and the cruelty that sin brings into life and the degradation that it brings to life because Christ had to die through his death, the burial, and the resurrection. But see, on the other side of that is, we see how incredibly God loves us. That God would withhold nothing from us. That God himself would pay, that the Word that spoke creation into existence would become flesh and blood, and that flesh and blood would make the payment, would make the sacrifice, become the sacrifice for our sins so that we could know God and we could live with him eternally in his home of heaven. So we see, yes, it reminds us of our sin and our great need for God, but then it also reminds us of the great love that God has for us, the incredible love that God had for us, that he would go to that extreme so that we could have life. That's an awesome reason to celebrate. Awesome reason to celebrate. I want to share with you something from Matthew. Jesus got in a little trouble about this, but it illustrates our point of how God loves for his people to celebrate and, again, how much he loves us. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 18, we find these words. It says, "For John, he came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man, eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, as wisdom is justified by their deeds." So John, he came and he lived a very disciplined life, and he says, okay, he's demon-possessed. Jesus, he comes, a little looser, and he runs around with tax collectors and sinners, and they say, he's a drunkard and a glutton. So why did Jesus hang out with people like that? Why did Jesus risk the reputation that they were trying to give him with this? Because it was those folks that needed a Savior. Those folks needed hope. It was those who needed to rebuild life. And they needed a real reason to celebrate. How about you today? Do you need to rebuild? Need to be rebuild life that has God as its focus? Where God is the center of life? You need to rebuild? Again, God makes that possible because of his Son Jesus, through his death, his burial, and the resurrection, that we can rebuild and we can have real life, a God-centered life, one that leads us and gives us the ability to celebrate. Do you need a true holiday? Do you need a holy day? To see and reflect what God really has done for you. What God has done in you. What God has done through you. Do you need a holy day? Do you need a time to celebrate that goodness and the greatness of God? That's what we're invited to do today. Come and take that first step to rebuild life. A life that God gives. Take the step and begin to truly celebrate all that God is and all of who God is in us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for loving us. God, I thank you for the real reason you give us that we can celebrate. Real life. A joy in life that comes because you are indeed our strength. To celebrate because of who you are. And the hope we have for all eternity. And God, I pray today. I pray truly for those that need to begin the rebuild. It has to start with the first step. Whether it's in giving our life to you through the forgiveness of sin through Christ, or it's turning back to you from a long walk away from you. Both, God, it's about making you the center or the focus of our life. God, when that happens, again, that's where the joy of life comes, the real reason to celebrate. God, may you cause us, our joy to expand into rejoicing. God, that you may cause us to celebrate you. You in us, through us. So God, over these next few moments while we sing, God, I pray that we look, and again, that we're going to adjust our life to make true holy days. You're the center of our life. God, maybe you'll even cause us to rejoice a little now and begin the celebration. So God, you draw us to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together, sing, and you come. Respond as God's leading you.